Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We are broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is now grown. Today I'm joined by Kirsty Bishop Fox and Jess Ness. Kirsty is a sustainability educator, consultant and committed anti-waste campaigner. And Jess was a committed independent candidate for the seat of Deakin in the 2025 federal election. They've both been on the show and today their topic is waste, food waste in general, food waste specifically, plastic-free July, which we've just had and probably could have talked about that a little bit earlier, but better late than never, and the upcoming Zero Waste Festival. So we're going to talk all about that. And I just, well, first of all, I'll say welcome to you both.
That's so lovely to be back. Delighted to be here.
Yeah. Just before we start talking, I just want to give some context to this discussion. So why are we having this discussion? And we're having this discussion because food waste and is central to the climate emergency and to ecological destruction. And just to give you a few statistics about that, one third of all food produced in the world is wasted. That's a estimation by the UN Food and Agriculture Association. So that's 1.3 billion tons of food are lost or wasted globally each year. 8 to 10% of global greenhouse gas emissions are linked to food that's never eaten. Mm-hmm. That's shocking, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If food waste were a country, it would be the third largest emitter after China and US. Mm-hmm. That's not just the emissions from food waste, but the emissions from energy consumption in general in both of those countries. Just coming up behind that would be just the big pile of wasted food in the size of the emissions. And wasting food also means wasting water. So an estimated 250 kilometres cubed of water, roughly three times the volume of Lake Geneva, is used annually to produce food that is never consumed. I don't want to steal everyone's thunder. I'm just, because you guys have probably got a lot to say about this, but I also just want to talk about food packaging because I know you're going to be talking about that. Yeah. So we think about 40% of global plastic demand is for packaging, not just food packaging, but food and beverage packaging is the largest contributor, according to the OECD. Over 80 million tonnes of plastic packaging waste are generated globally each year, much of it from the food sector, and only 9% of plastic waste is recycled. So globally, 9%. So bad news, really. And just a little figure for Australia before we get on to our guests. Australians discard around 7.6 million tonnes of food every year, which is equivalent, and this is worth a pause to just think about this, is equivalent to filling the Melbourne cricket ground 10 times over every year, just filled to the brim of food waste. So, of food, it's not even waste, it's not even food that can't be eaten, just food in general. So, anyway, I'm just going to just nip over to Jess straight away. What do you reckon about all that?
Look, I want to talk directly to this listeners for a second, because that's a lot to hear. It can be really confronting, and a lot of people will feel quite emotional hearing those statistics, as they should. You know, it's a pretty bleak outcome. But the reason that we do what we do, you know, Kirsty and I with the Zero Waste Festival, is about empowering people. You know, and while, yes, I was a federal candidate recently, I've always been a lifelong advocate for sustainability and local action. And it, during the campaign, the biggest benefit was really recognising what happens when you bring people together. That collective purpose is so empowering. And that's what this festival is all about. You know, it's about, okay, sure, we've got some serious issues, but come along, listen to what's already happening, the amazing things that are happening locally, that are happening at the commercial level, that are happening at the international level, and then find out what you can be part of and have that empowerment that you can be part of the solution, not just hearing the problem. So come along.
All right. So let's talk about where it's going to be.
Yep.
Who's going to be there? So we know what we're coming along to, and when to.
When is really important, because if you come and we're not there, that won't be very helpful.
Oh, that would be sad. That would be sad.
So it'll be Saturday the 6th of September. So this is our fourth year at Fed Square, but it's the eighth year, right, Kirsty, that the Zero Waste Festival has happened, and it gets bigger and bigger every year. So it's at Fed Square. We fill the atrium full of all sorts of exhibitors and activities. We've got repair cafes and mending circles, as well as lots of different types of exhibitors for everyone, lots of children's activities too. We do have some special guests. Our panel are hosted at The Edge, so we have a series of panel discussions throughout the entire day from 10 a.m. in the morning until 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and then we finish up with the amazing networking event, which we will talk at great lengths about today. And we're very, very excited about this one.
And that follows after 4, we should say.
Yeah, yes. And that's after 4.
So that goes into the evening?
Yeah, that goes into the evening.
Ooh, very nice. How do you register for it? Oh, you don't register, you just turn up and it's all there?
No, we'd like to have you come and register. One, because there are particular times to come in, for example, the clothes swap, or if you're coming in to have something repaired, you will have to register for those times specifically. But it also helps us know how many people are going to come so that we can cater for you all. And that'll be on Humanitix, and that will go live
Tuesday
on Humanitix.
Yeah.
And we can.
So you heard it first here.
You did.
We'll put it on the show notes for the podcast as well. And Kirsty, what's your role going to be in the Zero Waste Festival?
Zero Waste Festival. Well, at the moment we're in the planning stages, but I know on the day I'll be joining a talk on plastics. It's called, I should know what it's called. We came up with a really cool name, but it's basically talking about the plastic crisis in Australia.
Yes.
You know, let's not sugarcoat this. And it's really interesting, as Jess kind of alluded before, we've got to be very, very mindful that some of these issues, particularly with plastic and also food waste too, they're huge and they're massive. They're systemic issues. But we can't be jaded by that. We need to fight at that top level.
Yes, yeah.
And by fight, I mean, you know, we don't have to get our gloves out, although sometimes I feel we might. But, you know, it's important that on an individual level we look at that too. And I say that because on that individual level, when we realise what we can do, then we can speak to our governments, we can speak to our councillors, we can speak to our local fruit and veggie stores and say we can do better by taking that action. So we'll be talking about soft plastics, particularly soft plastics with our food packaging. Which is something that the supermarkets really do need to have some serious shifts about, but that will only happen when, as customers, and I'm intentionally using the word customer instead of consumer, we're not faceless consumers at the end of their supply chain.
Yeah.
We are citizens, we are customers, we are supporting their business, and maybe we can take actions to go, right, with my fruit and veggie, do I really need to put bananas in a plastic bag? The answer is always no, by the way. It's actually it decreases the life of your bananas by putting them in a plastic bag and storing them in that bag. Or perhaps you can just be getting your fruit and veggies and going, do you know what? I'm getting three onions. I don't need three onions in a bag. I can put them loosely in my carry bag. Or I forgot my carry bag, which is the story of my life. So I grab a box from that fruit store that they were going to be discarding anyway. So there are lots of things we can do, and we'll be talking about that on in the discussion. And we'll be joined by the Eco Centre, who's talking about their report with the microplastics through our local rivers. They've done a very great paper on that. If you Google it, I'm sure you'll find it. And we'll be talking about the potential of recycling. And I just want to add, some of you may have heard, that the listeners, that some of the supermarkets have started collecting soft plastics again. And I know that's been received really well, and it's really, really exciting. But we all have to remind ourselves, this is... it's a pilot. It's a step. It's a pilot that we expect will continue, but we're not ready. And I say we, as a country, we're not ready to manage the soft plastic waste on scale. So we still need to be avoiding that as best we can. And the reality is, it does take energy to process it. Is it going to come back into a plastic bag
again?
Such
a problem.
Yeah, some solutions have that. So that's I've kind of gone off a little bit on just the festival. I do apologise.
No, that's okay. We need all that context.
But that is one of the topics with the festival that we'll be covering as well.
Jess, have you got anything to add at this point?
Yeah, I think too. I really like that distinction between consumer and
customer.
Yeah, and I think having that agency and understanding the problem as a whole so you can make an informed decision is really powerful. Not only can you make that informed decision, but you understand the whole breadth of that outcome. You know, we talk a lot, Kirsty and I, about the real cost of things. You know, whether you're recycling it, whether it's the cost on the planet, whether it's the cost to even just dispose of that, there is a cost. And when you really understand that, you make different choices when you bring something into the home, understanding that you also are responsible for the end of that, the life of that product.
All right. Let's flip over a little bit into plastic-free July. What happened? What is it? And what happens in it? And what do you know happened in it this year, if anything?
Yeah, so it's 15 years. 15 years of plastic-free July. So that's what happened this year. That's a real milestone. And when you look at how it started, it's just a small idea of a few people in an office getting together and avoiding their plastics. And it's now the biggest worldwide movement, the worldwide action of people actually thinking about it. And the thing with plastic-free July, you know, and don't worry if you're like, plastic-free July, I've never heard of that before. Oh, my gosh, how did we get to July? What am I doing? You know, it doesn't matter. You can start it right now. And plastic-free July is all about looking at the plastic that you have. That you consume in this instance here, and going, how can I reduce that plastic? And for a starting point, if you've never thought about it before, it can be like your coffee cup, which are plastic lined. Not everyone realises that, but just think cardboard has to have that lining for it to hold. It's the straws, which we've pretty much done away with. Although, of course, the avoiding a straw is better than a single-use paper.
Yes,
Then there's the plastic bags and the water bottles. So if you've got those nailed, you can move on to other things. If you haven't, then, you know, water is one of the most expensive drinks we can buy when we think about comparative to the tap.
One of the most stupid – don't start me on it. It's the stupidest drink we can buy.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. And, you know, there's a lot of concerns about microplastics coming into – or nanoplastics, which go into your bloodstream from water that's been stored in a plastic bottle on a shelf for a very, very long time. Refilling a plastic bottle and drinking it in a short time frame is different, I might add, if you own a plastic water bottle or reuse them. It's a bit of a different story. But just think about that plastic that you can avoid. And if you've got the basics, then maybe the fruit and veggie, like I spoke about before, or when you go to when you go out for a takeaway, if you do takeaway, you could take a reusable container or reuse that container. Just think, what plastic, or even the bread. I take my own bread bags to the bakery and they refill my bread bags.
We've sort of stopped getting takeaway. We just think, just sit in the restaurant.
I do that too. No, look, I'm with you. I don't get a lot of takeaway, and I prefer to sit down too, but I appreciate that not everyone listening is in that. Takeaways are out there and they're real. So if you do takeaway, then of course, but I get it. Sit down and enjoy it. It's the experience that I think makes difference, yeah.
Oh, 100%. So wholesome to sit around with friends and family and share a meal together, and I think it's a really good lesson for everyone just to slow down a little bit. And I think a lot of the consumerist of it all of the plastic wrapped, all of the takeaway, is because we live such fast-paced, busy lives. And when you do slow down, it makes some of these actions just all the more easier, you know?
Mm-hmm. In fact, it's essential that we slow down to do it, because you just can't, sometimes you just can't. If you've got kids, which I know that you both have, and you're working, it's just sometimes it's just you've got to survive.
Oh, 100%.
Grab something.
And I think too, there's a really important piece here. Yes, there's a lot of local and individual actions that we can take to reduce that plastic. But one of the cool things that the festival provides is that activist opportunity. A lot of people wouldn't know, you know, where to go to take bigger actions, whether it's with council or with corporations or government even. And so having that space where you can come and be like, oh, actually there's a survey I can fill out, or a petition I can be part of, or, you know, research that I can look into and understand more about is really important too.
Or a community group. There's a number of community groups who rely on volunteers, and often people come to the festival, not everyone, but some of them do, looking for volunteering opportunities. I know we've got some great volunteers that way, but so is like Beach Patrol and Sea Shepherd and all the other many groups. And even if you're like, oh no, I don't want to volunteer, it's still really interesting to learn about what they're doing.
Friends of the Earth.
Absolutely,
All right, we'll have a break and we'll be right back.
Consumer law touches on many aspects of what we do every day. Consumer Action Law Centre has lawyers, financial counsellors and policy experts who specialise in issues such as unfair contract terms and deceptive or dodgy business practices, like excessive pricing or irresponsible lending. Consumer Action Law Centre provides free legal information and advice and pursues litigation on behalf of consumers experiencing disadvantage across Victoria. Consumer Action Law Centre currently focuses on getting justice for people who have been sold lemon cars, ripped off by insurance companies, scammed and denied help from their bank, or refused hardship concessions from telecommunications and energy companies. Find out how Consumer Action Law Centre can help you at consumeraction.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast.
Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
Welcome back to the Local Food Connections show, where today we are chatting with Jess Ness and Kirsty Bishop Fox. We are, of course, on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. Please visit also our podcast list on the 3CR website, and you can also listen to the live streaming of the show there. But if you want to go back to our podcast, you'll hear previous conversations that we've had with Jess and Kirsty. I would like to talk a little bit about activism now, because it's not fair to put all this on individual choices, and that's just, as you say, Kirsty, it's systemic, and it's going to take action by government and large corporations. Who would like to come in on that?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Activism is different things, and yes, it's not all our personal things, but I want to, before I jump to the big thing, and I hope it's okay I do this, Anne, is that activism is really interesting because activism can happen every single day with our choices, the choices that we make. So I mentioned before about the fruit and veggies, and a lot of people are quite critical of the supermarkets, the major supermarkets, yeah. Without dropping names, we know who they are, because we don't like the way they treat the farmers, and we don't like the way they manage our plastic. So I know for me, a form of activism that I've decided to do is just not to shop there. I shop at my local fruit and veggie store or a farmer's market if I can get there. I can't always, but the local fruit store is great. And they take so much pride in what they do. Mm. They really take so much pride in what they do. I mean, I have conversations with them all the time. So supporting my local business is a form of activism against the major brands that really just treat us as faceless consumers and we're only there for profit. So I think that's the starting point. But as it comes for, you know, taking it up the chain, I think have conversations with people. You know, I can say write letters to MPs and contact your councillors, and I think that's a great thing to do, but I appreciate for some that's quite intimidating. But opening a conversation with friends and family about that one little thing can make a difference, and I know I feel really empowered by doing that. And when we start to do that and see the bigger picture, because if we go, right, we know what they're doing isn't okay, but I'm still supporting them. And literally, if you're shopping at a venue and you don't like what you do, you're supporting them. So just do what you can do to take away from that. I think that's a really key thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think, if I can add, what you were saying before, Anne, is, you know, in our busy lives, you know, sometimes we've got to make compromises. You know, supermarkets, you can have a choice of unpacked apples and packed apples. And so often those packed apples are going to be cheaper. And whether that's because we're time constrained or financially constrained, we will often choose that. Just because if we have felt forced into that situation because maybe we couldn't get to our fresh fruit produce
after hours that day.
Exactly. That doesn't mean that we can't have that same level of activism and hold those supermarkets to account and say, hang on, I'm not okay with this. You know, you can do better by us. Mm. And, find avenues, come to the festival and find out.
Absolutely. You get the supermarkets telling you that their consumers prefer to buy something like carrots in plastic bags.
That's right.
Yeah. That's skewed, right?
Right. And crazy. And I understand why someone would like, you can't see the fingers that I just did if you're listening, because it's cheaper. Yep. It's pretty rare to see carrots cheaper loose. And the Australian, the Marine Conservation Society, they've actually got an action out right now. If you Google it and look at it, you'll find it. And they're actually encouraging people to take photos of the different prices. Yes, it's going to cost me more to buy my fruit and veg loose without plastic, because that way they get great data to take to the government and say, well, this is the problem that we're facing. It should not cost you more for, dare I say, the privilege of having plastic free. It's not a privilege to have plastic free at all. It should just be a standard option that's available. I get it, pre-bagged spinach can be a little bit different, and, you know, I like to take my reusable bags, but something like carrots and those types of things, lettuce is often, again, more expensive. Mm. If it's just those things that we need to consider, because it's quite significant.
I think too, the statistics that the supermarkets are collecting to say that we prefer to buy things in plastic is based on how much we're purchasing, but that's not the reality of what I would actually prefer. And so, you know, that point of activism is to go and write, we have to explain to them that I'm choosing it because I feel I have to, but I would actually prefer to buy it.
They're not asking that. They're just noticing that people are buying the plastic ones. I actually say to the produce manager at my local IGA, it's great that you got that organic food there, but I'm not buying it because it's all in plastic. Yeah. I'm buying the other food. Yeah. I want to buy the organic. I want to support the organic farmers, but I can't do it. And they say, oh, they send it to us like that. And I say, well, that's you have to figure that out with them. I'm not buying it. That's all I say. It's not much. It's not confrontational. I don't know whether it will make any difference, but it might just put the idea into the big soup of ideas that might make a difference.
And these conversations are so important. I think a lot of the stuff that you see in the news and the media is around the consumer level. It's us. Yes. It's in our households, all of this waste. That's where we're addressing it. But if we can have more transparency about what's actually happening for the farmers, both between their relationships with the supermarkets and what's being not accepted, for starters, and, you know, we're really grateful to have Farmers Pick come along to our food waste talk this year, who will share a lot about that as well. But if the community could understand what's happening, even just with the change of climate and the change of seasons, these seasonal vegetables, that's shifted for the farmers. Mm-hmm. And again, it comes back to being able to make those informed decisions. If there isn't this information out there...
Yeah, if we don't know, we're not going to do any take any action whatsoever. Yep. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power, yeah. And that's why this festival's come about, because it started, what, with a Facebook group so many years ago that went absolutely off, and it's now huge, and people wanted to get together and have more of these meaningful conversations so that we can build that collective knowledge and that sense of purpose and agency.
Mm-hmm. And I think we know the supermarkets know that there is, they say the consumers want this, but they can see this activism that we're talking about, which is why they're jumping on to Second Bite. And, you know, you see their truck, oh, we look after people that are food insecure and all this, and they're participating in helping out food rescue organisations to some extent.
Well, they are, but what we have to be mindful is that's a big tax deduction for them. They just get to write that.
Oh, no, I know it's cynical. I'm not saying they're good.
What's challenging is that the farmers can't do that. Mm-hmm. If the farmers actually donate food, they can't. They have different things there. So, yes, it's very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And the supermarkets, you're right, the supermarkets have not done a survey and asked what people would like. They just market it that way and people still buy it. Yeah. Why do people still buy it? They need to eat.
And they might just not know. They just might not have the information. I'd like somebody, I think, Jess, could you talk a little bit about what the situation is for farmers, what the supply chain is and how it affects them?
Yeah, look, I'm mindful of time and I really want you to come along to the festival and hear it from the horse's mouth.
No, good.
But look, from a real personal experience, I visited my family living on a farm and the dam right now is at end of summer low. So when we talk about, you know, supporting our farmers, that isn't just like warm and fuzzy. That this is a desperate need for the safety of our food security in Australia. We really need to step up and make sure in every way that we can that we're supporting our farmers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So go to the Zero Food Waste and you will probably hear about how much of the profit goes back to farmers, how much goes to farmers' agents, how much goes to supermarkets,
etc. Yeah, but there are tons of things that are turned away because they look a little different.
Yes,
But you'll also hear about the really innovative work that's happening through uni students who are finding new ways to look at saving that wonky kind of fruit and veg, as well as, the whole from paddock to plate and beyond, the whole food cycle, and get the proper big picture and, you know, behind the curtains kind of peek of what's really happening in that space.
Sure. Okay, as you say, we are short of time. We've got you've got 1 minute each to say something.
To say something intelligent. I feel like I'm put on the spot. But I think that really what we need to do is just as individuals, just do what you can. And if that is by making a sustainable action the choice that you make as a person, that's great. If it's by, you know, writing letters or signing campaigns, you know, the petitions, I should say, that really does make a difference. When you see people collecting petitions and data, it's to take to the government and say, and saying that we've got 500 signatures and saying that we've got 5,000 and 50,000 really does weigh up. It doesn't take long to do it. It's a little thing. Yeah. So just
and it makes it easier for the government if they've got some information.
It does. Yep.
All right, we've got Simon Tui, we've got Mandy Hall. They're going to do an awesome cook-off for us at our networking event. Please be sure to come along. Dirt Girl's going to be there with us at the festival. We've got heaps of great speakers, heaps of... Oh, yeah, of course, Urban Nana. Everyone here will know Urban Nana. Can't wait to have her along. Talk about everyday actions. She makes that all super accessible. Yeah. Love having her along. It's one not to be missed. Even Richmond Football Club, come and find out what they're going to talk about.
Excellent. Saturday, 6th of September, Federation Square, all that stuff that Jess is talking about. There will be panel discussions and there will be a networking event into the evening. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thanks for having us.
The short little pleasure. Show. My name is Anne Stanley. My guests were Kirsty Bishop Fox and Jess Ness. Until next week, love the land you're on. Share your surplus. Take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more radical radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.